Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us. Got a good show for you today. Patrick McGee from Dolo.com coming on the show. We're going to hear from Dalton McIntyre, a bright new face with Southern Miss baseball. Also going to talk a little basketball. I'm a little sleepy today, Kelly. I had trouble sleeping last night. I could hear Joe Biden screaming at me all night long, and it just made me a little uncomfortable.
What, do you know why he was screaming, Bob?
No, why?
Because that's what we do in America. We scream.
Oh, boy, that was fun.
And when he called it the State of the Onion address, too, I thought that really...
Yeah, that was pretty. And then... Lincoln Riley, the USC coach, didn't know he had been killed by an illegal immigrant, but we should probably move on.
Well, right? at least he had been calling him Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, so that's exactly right. We're at the Southern Bancorp Studios here in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob, Kelly, and Luke, kind of a drizzly Friday afternoon, and not sure if that's going to affect baseball tonight. Maybe about a 50% chance of rain, I think, down there tonight. Opening segment sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of our show. We're proud to say our very good friends. Great place to take your family for dinner tonight. Great place to cater your next event. Just good food and good people at Dickie's Barbecue. Okay, well, basketball, we've got the ladies to look forward to tonight. We're going to be talking about that in just a moment. That's a lot of excitement right now around the Lady Eagles. But, guys, you know, a sad finish last night, 75-59 loss to Texas State in a game the men's team, which finished the year 16-6 and 9-9 in the Sun Belt, just never seemed to be in. A lot of things happened to basketball this year. You see Donovan Ivory on the sidelines. That certainly hurts. You had Victor Hart out most of the season, and then you lose your coach to a heart issue. Just too much to overcome, Kelly, and in the end, the guys just appeared to be out of gas to me.
You can add Curbelo to the list. He was on again, off again. You know, and no inside presence at all yesterday. And, of course, the Texas State, to their credit, they got off to a really hot shooting start in the first half. And the Eagles just did not have an answer. The times where they'd go down the floor, they'd get offensive rebounds and miss the putbacks, not once or twice, but three different times. You just kind of got the feeling early that this was not going to go their way. Yeah. And the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And in past games, the Eagles, in games that they would fall behind early by double digits, they just did not have a propensity to come back, you know?
Now, Luke Johnson, put in perspective from your viewpoint, where is this basketball program right now?
Well, I mean, it's somewhere in between where they were the first 3 years and last year. I mean, that when you look at the records, single digit wins, and then you win 23 last year, and this year you finish, you know, at 500. So had there been a little more non-injury consistency, I think they would have won. You know, I think they probably could have won close to 20 games. The problem with this team was once they got out of a game, I mean, they were down 11 at halftime. They were outscored 41-36 in the second half, shot the ball better in the second half. But this was a team, man, they could come out and just go like ice cold, and then they could get really hot. But as we've seen really over the last month, they started cold and just didn't have what it took to close it out and finish it at the end. And it was unfortunate because you felt like they were crazy athletic. But all those athletes couldn't be on the court at the same time because of injuries and inconsistency. And so, you know, part of you just wonders what this team would have been like. You know, would they have won 5, 6, 7 more games? Because the athleticism was there. It was just frustrating that you didn't know who you were going to get, you know, in a given week.
And the only guy that really had even a warm hand last night was Kobe Montgomery from that baseline corner that he always likes that shot. And I was just surprised at how many uncontested layups Texas State was getting in the second half. The Eagles would go to a full court press, and there'd be, you know, one of the guys would break loose out of the Texas State pack all alone down at the other end of the court for easy layups. And that's obviously not a recipe for success.
They tried to get back in the game, but they went 3 for 12 from behind the three-point line in the second half. Hart finished his career out with 20 points. Crowley finished his career with 16 points. And then Curbelo, I knew it was going to be a rough night when under 10 minutes to go before halftime, Iwako, Crowley, and I think Curbelo were the leading scorers with 6, 6, and 5.
What did we put up? Only about 31 points in the first, if that many, or 21?
No, we put
up
23 at the half.
Yeah.
I want to salute Iwako. He didn't have his best game last night. He did have 6 boards, 6 points. But, you know, he finished second in the conference. And he's in 1 year, he's one of the best blockers I think this school has seen in quite some time. And it was just fun to watch him play defense. But, yeah, nobody got the hot hand last night.
Yeah. And the second year in a row now, the Eagles won and done.
In the tournament.
In the Sun Belt tournament on the men's side.
All right, I like to talk about positive things. So let's talk about the women's team. They're still alive. They play tonight at 5 o'clock. They're going to be playing James Madison, and that's going to be about 48 hours after that 70-53 win over Coastal Carolina. Ja'Cory Bracey from Drew, Mississippi. My wife and I are very proud of her from being up in the Mississippi Delta. You know, at 20 points and 10 rebounds against the team the other night, Coastal Carolina. Dom Davis, of course, was her normal self. Malia Grayson, Shea Leek, and I may have mispronounced her first name, has really come on strong here lately as a backup to Grayson. Those four kids got to produce tonight, Luke, and they're going to have to hustle and rebound because the Dukes are one of the nation's best rebounding teams, 46.6 per game, fourth in the country. Lady Eagles going to have to block out and rebound.
Yeah, and a big key of this is to hit the mid-range shot because you don't want just Grayson by herself in there trying to rebound. And the less opportunities they have to they're going to get their share of offensive rebounds just because of how good they are. But the way you kind of put a dent in that is that you make shots. And whether you get, you know, cuts and feeds down low where you can get easy layups. But it's going to be Bracey and it's going to be Dom, you know, in the mid-range jump shot. If they come out hot early and basically don't allow a stolen possession because of the rebounding edge for James Madison. Now, I feel good. I mean, I feel good about the Lady Eagles and their athleticism. And, man, they had a dandy of a defensive strategy and game plan against Coastal. And it'll be easy. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Coach McNellis and the coaches draw up defensively. Because this is, you know, their leading scorer, McDaniel, 14.5 points a game. So how do they, you know, contain her and how do they contain the Dukes?
Well, and I'll say this real quick, Kelly. I don't mean to interrupt you. We talk a lot about the players on the team, but this is a really well-coached basketball team, and the coaching staff needs a lot of credit because as the woman that was doing the color the other night, a national champion, a women's basketball player, said, this looks like a fine-oiled machine to me, and that's coaching.
And the guy that you really haven't heard anything about this year, who's kind of been the unsung hero of the Lady Eagle season so far, is Jack Trosper. Right. Who's the assistant coach that has had to fill in while, you know, Joy Lee, Coach McNellis, has had other things, including, you know, her own health to deal with. So a salute to Jack Trosper. But, you know, when you look at this tournament taking place in Pensacola, you guys, it really appears to be a game of musical chairs as to who is going to face Marshall. I mean, Marshall today, as we speak, is beating App State by 35 points in the fourth quarter.
That's ugly.
Would you say? So it appears that Marshall is going to steamroll everybody on the upper half of the bracket. But, you know, if the Lady Eagles can get to that final game, you never know what craziness might happen.
We like to report the facts, Center, so it's actually a 36-point lead now.
Oh, instead of 35. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 97-61 with 6:48 to go in the fourth.
So they're going to put up over 100, probably.
Possibly, yeah. When you go back to that January 11th game, Lady Eagles and the Lady Dukes, I'm telling you, very rarely do you get somebody, unless you're Caitlin Clark in the Iowa Hawkeyes, scoring 30-plus, right? That night, I think it was in Reed Green. I guess it was in Reed Green.
It was Reed Green, right.
Yeah. McDaniel scored 33 and Dom scored 33. Yeah. That's just really cool to me. And so,
at a close game, Luke. It was a close game.
Yeah, it's tonight, offensively, if the Lady Eagles can shoot at a high percentage – and kind of take away the edge there. And again, if you're watching this game, James Madison is going to get offensive rebounds. It's going to happen. But you kind of steal that stolen possession on the offensive rebound when you make shots and don't lose possessions on the offensive end.
All right, ESPN Plus, 5 o'clock, Lady Eagles, whole South Mississippi, I hope, is watching and cheering for these just incredibly great kids. And we're really hoping that they pull this out. All right, Nico Mazza on the mound tonight for the Golden Eagles if the game is played. We'll talk about that next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Campus Book Mart sponsors the second segment of our program every day. Miss Kathleen, the best. She's there 7 days a week. They got all the Southern Miss swag and apparel you could ever hope to see. And remember, they're looking for part-time help. So if you want a great part-time job in the midst of Golden Eagle stuff the whole time you're at work, go by and talk to Miss Kathleen at Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street. All right, Golden Eagles set to take on an old foe, Louisiana Tech, 3 games in Ruston. First game scheduled to start tonight at 6, weather allowing. One of the new faces on the baseball team is Dalton McIntyre, and he comes in tonight's game leading the team with a 5-game hitting streak. This kid has really shown himself to be, I think, a surprise. I think it's fair to say that he's gone out and grabbed center field in the leadoff spot in the lineup. Had a conversation with him earlier this week, and here's Dalton McIntyre. Dalton McIntyre on the Eagle Hour. Dalton, try to think of the word, smooth, relaxed in the leadoff spot all week, multiple hits every game. You had to feel really good about your performance.
Yes, sir. It was definitely good to be back in that leadoff spot. It's kind of a spot I've been used to most of my life. I really just felt comfortable in that spot, like getting some energy for the team. That's really all that leadoff spot is, just try to get on base, get some momentum in your dugout so the guys behind me can drive me in.
So I was reading about you earlier today. You hit over 500 your senior year in high school, over 400 last year at Meridian Community College. So your performance over the weekend probably didn't come as a big surprise to you.
It did a little bit. I mean, it's a different level of baseball here. It's definitely bigger than the JUCO or the high school atmosphere. The pitchers are a lot better. It's a lot tougher to get hits. You can't steal as many hits as you can maybe in high school or JUCO. But, I mean, I felt good about my performance overall.
I know when we first met you, you indicated to me that you pitched as well. Is there some talk of that, or do you think after the way you've been playing, you're going to be leadoff hitter and playing center field?
I mean, our pitching staff is so good. I mean, we've got 20 arms that we can roll out any day. Anybody can go out there and perform really well. So the coaches really told me just to kind of focus on hitting and let the pitching guys be the pitching guys and just, like, really hone it in on just the hitting side of it.
So now that you've gotten the season underway, your thoughts about playing here, is this what you anticipated it would be?
It's more than I anticipated it to be. I mean, the coaches really drill into your head that the city of Hattiesburg is really behind you, but you really don't notice it until you get out here that first game and you see all 5,000 people out here just cheering for you. And it's really, like, it's bigger than just this team. It's the whole city. It's like we win as a city or we lose as a city. Everybody, like, kind of feels it the same way.
Let me assure you, when you lose, we all go home just as sad as you. We're just as happy with your winning, and you're winning a lot. Your analysis of the first 12 games and where you think this team can go.
This team's really talented, far more talented than even we've shown. I know we've played some pretty good baseball, but there's a lot of growth that we're still doing, and we've came really far from that first weekend. There's a lot of things that we need to prove, and we've made a lot of improvements so far this year, so I'm confident.
What are your expectations and hopes for yourself?
Honestly, I just hope I can, you know, benefit to the team, however that is. I mean, I know this past weekend I started the games, but I've came off the bench in games, pinch run, come in to play defense. I really just want to benefit any way that they need me.
Well, I think the way you hit this weekend, you don't have to worry about not starting the next game, right?
Hopefully. That's...
Yeah. All right. As you look down the road, and there are a lot of games to play, obviously, fans get all emotional about games against in-state teams and midweek games. But every game is equally as important, and I'm going to assume you guys still are approaching it from a one-game-at-a-time perspective, not too high, not too low.
Yes, sir. I mean, you can't really look at the name on the other team's shirt. At the end of the day, you're playing against the game, not playing against yourself. That's something Coach Oz has been telling us basically every day. I mean, you can't go out there and try to beat your opponent. You got to play the game the right way. You got to do the right things, and usually the outcome's going to be in your favor.
All right, last question. Playing for Christian Ostrander is, and you finish the sentence.
Inspirational, I would say. He delivers a lot of quotes to us. There's a lot of mental stuff that, you know, I really didn't get taught in JUCO or high school. I mean, he gives you a lot of good motivational words, a lot of quotes that really just stick with you.
You happy to be here?
I love it here.
Okay, no regrets.
No, sir.
All right, well, best of luck. We enjoy watching you play. You're a very exciting new member of the team, and we're all really excited to have you.
Thank you.
Kelly, you probably remember, I'm sure you do, when Tuna was out here and Monastere and Dalton McIntyre came, and we didn't know who he was, and he's not very big. You wouldn't have really thought maybe he was going to grab – lead off in center field, right?
And a kid from Jackson, Tennessee, right?
Yeah,
who, like,
right.
comes out of nowhere. But there's the perfect example of wait your turn, be ready when you get your turn. You know, when you talk about size, too, one of the things I like about baseball.
I agree completely.
You don't have to be a big guy.
That's right.
You know, golf, you don't have to be big. Baseball, you know. Right. I mean, look, Ozzie Pratt's not a real big guy.
Right.
I mean,
right.
He might weigh 150 soaking wet, you know.
Right.
But then you got these Hulksters like, you know, Slade Wilkes. And so, I mean, there's room for everybody. And if you've got a skill set, there's room for you on a baseball team. And
yeah.
Obviously, Dalton McIntyre's making the most of it.
Yeah, Luke, this kid's really smooth in the leadoff spot and, you know, really plus-plus center fielder. He's a nice addition.
Yeah, I can't find in his junior college career. I could be wrong, and if McIntyre's listening, I apologize. I just can't find where he hit a home run, which is, to Kelly's point, he's a slap hitter. He's a contact guy, and he's got a lot of speed. 33 stolen bases at Meridian. And you look at what he's done this year, I mean, he's the type of guy with the power that's behind him, and I think that's what Oz was trying to do, was to try to find his on-base percentage guy. You know, who in this lineup can consistently get on base? And, I mean, we've seen him hit the ball particularly to the opposite field as well. He did that the other night, and I think he's perfect in that leadoff. And it'll be interesting to see, man, with him in center, then they had to experiment with Monastere in left. And when Monastere's in left, that means that, you know, Gillespie or Butler can't be there. And then if Gillespie or Butler can't be there, then you got to make a decision on the DH. And so it appears what they're going to do is, hopefully, I think we'll see it tonight, that Monastery is going to play the infield.
Yeah.
He's going to play the hot corner. I assume Broadus will play a little there. But what that does is, you know, you get McIntyre in the lineup every day. You get Butler in the lineup every day. You don't lose Wilkes power. And interesting, guys, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, will we see Davis Gillespie at first base?
Yeah, and if you put Gillespie at first base, you get that big bat in. I mean, you think about that. And I know they're not hitting real well right now, but that is a lot of power in a batting lineup.
But the problem, if there is a problem with power hitting, it's either all or nothing. It tends to be all or nothing. They either knock it out of the ballpark or they strike out. All right, and as a coach, you want to be able to have a nice mix and match where Dalton McIntyre's skill set comes in. The singles and double slap hitters who can get on base, can run well, that sets it up for the big bruisers. But if you get too many of those big bruisers and they all go on a strikeout streak, you leave the ballpark.
Here's where McIntyre can really help the team, too, and Luke, you can comment on this. I mean, he's getting on base a lot. He's very fast. So, I mean, he's almost every time going to steal second and just puts a lot of pressure on the opposing team right out of the gate, Luke, if you get the McIntyre on base.
Yeah, because then you have to watch, because if Monastery stays in the two-hole, then two through five are home run threats. A guy that I'm waiting, because I think he's close. I think what we saw at the beginning of the season with Pratt, I think he's taking a little lull. But if what happens is if Pratt can pick up that six-hole, then it's almost like you got a leadoff guy in McIntyre with four power spots behind him, and then you can start back up with Ozzy, and you know, to get on base. There has been you know, there's a drop off, you know, 7 and 8 and 9. McIntyre, you know, to start the season was kind of at the bottom of the order, so you're going to need some type of jolt. If you talk about, you know, putting Gillespie back in that lineup, Gillespie and Pratt fit that six or seven hole. And then I think Seth Smith will be fine. And then, you know, what are you going to get out of the catcher's position? You got a lot from Odom early on, and again, he's taking a little lull. But he and Stockman, I think people need to realize, I mean, that's one of the most demanding from just the mental aspect, but you know, there's a lot on your game, a lot on your mind and your plate as a catcher, and those two dudes are just going to have to grow into that position. And then sometimes that's going to mean strikeouts. Sometimes that's going to mean, as it's meant a lot of people getting stolen on, you know, on us. But those guys got to grow in that position.
Well, Slade Wilkes is this close from figuring it out. He said if he could just figure out every time that he came up to bat that some clouds would roll in.
Yeah, fog. Yeah. Slade likes the fog. Yeah.
And hit it out to right field. Yeah. He'd be in business every time.
Right, it might now, be fog in Ruston for the third or fourth straight.
Weather looks a little iffy right now. And the games are on ESPN Plus, we're seeing. So presuming we play at 6, tune in and enjoy it. Golden Eagle Baseball back on the diamond tonight. When we come back, Patrick McGee, he's down at NOLA.com.
We'll hear from drama. Him. There's drama with NOLA.com and the Saints.
Oh, okay.
Coming
good.
Up.
Let's hear it.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, you know the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour is Genesis of Hattiesburg. Genesis sedans and SUVs, the finest luxury vehicles on the road today and coming very soon. We keep teasing it, but it's coming very soon, the new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. I want to say hello to our good friends as well at Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Kind of a rainy weekend, it looks like. Be a good time to go down and enjoy a good hot coffee tonight and some delicious beignets. Mo Bay Beignet, 2902 Hardy Street, where the desserts are always delicious. And don't forget, about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Kelly's favorite Alexa, you could just tell her to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. This segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the Rock. Games on the TV tonight, basketball and baseball. Be sure you check it out at 4th Street Bar and Grill. It's Friday. We go to New Orleans. Patrick McGee, our good friend from NOLA.com. And Patrick, a big name that has been very familiar to the New Orleans Saints in recent years, gone and not going quietly.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, not officially been released, but it's expected here in the coming days. Yeah, and Thomas really has, for weeks now, months, been more vocal on social media, critical of Derek Carr, and saying kind of vague things that could kind of be construed one way or the other. But, you know, now that Jeff Duncan, one of our columnists, reported yesterday that Thomas's release is expected in the next few days, Thomas is not happy about it. And I think there is some kind of like, probably some just kind of background, you know, just Duncan and Thomas have probably never seen eye to eye on things. And Thomas is particularly sensitive to anything that he sees as criticism. So it doesn't really come as a surprise. He was just really critical of the Saints also, saying that the Saints are somehow trying to bring down his value. But I mean, everybody knew that he was going to be released. He just doesn't like the idea of being released, I think, is what it comes down to. It was always expected to be a one-year stay with the Saints, even though he has another year left on his contract, technically.
Well, the thing that brought his value down more than anything, Patrick, is just his durability. He just has been so injury-riddled. Why would anybody want to take a huge risk?
Yeah, now on top of the injuries, is, you know, his conduct away from the field. You know, he was arrested in Kenner with a weird incident, and his social media habits also aren't to his benefit. So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons that his value has decreased. Is, you know, he's not the same guy he was. You know, he spent 4 years mostly injured, and at this point in his career, he's just not the same guy.
Patrick, I mean, this is maybe why A.T. Perry came in last year. He's an inch taller than Thomas, and, you know, Kirkwood 6'3", 210. And you're not going to replace the early Michael Thomas. I get that. But, right. I mean, Perry can step in and form some of that. And, you know, Olave and Shahid, of course, being the fast guys. But, I mean, do you see either one of those guys stepping in and being that possession-type receiver?
Yeah, I think Perry fits that, and Shahid, you know, Saints still have to offer him, but all signs point to him coming back with the team. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at three guys. I think Perry showed there late in the season, especially, that he can be a good guy in the red zone, and that's what they need. And I would expect him to take another step forward. I think they probably should have got him more snaps earlier in the season. So, yeah, I think Perry shows a lot of promise. But, yeah, you got to find. You know, you got basically three guys you can kind of build around there, but you want, you know, five to six that you can put out there. So maybe in free agency the Saints can pick somebody up, or maybe through the draft, maybe in the second or third round, we could see the Saints look to a receiver to add some depth there and some size that they're going to be missing with Michael Thomas. So, yeah, at least they have something to build around. Some teams don't have that.
I'm on the Saints official website. Michael Thomas is not listed on the offensive depth chart, and I don't know if that's I don't know if that's the end of the season. But, yeah, he's not listed anywhere, which I just find kind of interesting. All right. You know, combine, a little too early to talk draft. We've talked position-wise. But, you know, free agent-wise, you just mentioned, you know, generically free agent. What are some positions the Saints are looking to grab, and maybe a name or two?
I think edge rusher, defensive end, receiver, linebacker. I think, and cornerback, they could probably add another for depth. You know, there's a pretty good chance Marshawn Lattimore moves on at some point, possibly via trade. But I think one name kind of thrown around is a Chase Young, a defensive end. Somebody has a really reached that potential, nice. But maybe they take a flyer on him. At receiver, Matthew Paris, one of our Saints beat writers, he has a piece up today that really goes through a lot of the guys that the Saints could potentially be looking at. One is K.J. Osborne, a guy who played for Clint Kubiak. There in with the Vikings before he landed with the 49ers. So maybe we'll see Kubiak kind of go out and get some familiar guys to kind of plug some holes that he knows that can kind of bring in and help other guys really kind of buy into his system.
Speaking of the NFC South, Patrick, and and the Vikings in particular. This is more of a Falcons question in the division with the Saints, but there's been talk that maybe Kirk Cousins may be headed to Atlanta. Do the Saints folks think
don't
that that's
do that to Kirk Cousins.
That's a possibility?
Well, I know that's interesting. I haven't really followed. You know, I've seen buzz here or there. I think the Raiders have also been turned around as a potential spot for Cousins. I'm a guy that thinks Cousins is pretty good.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
yes.
I think he's still got something left in the tank. But he was in a really good situation in Minnesota with the guys he had around him. You know, how he would do. You know, going to Atlanta where, you know, maybe you have a young running back, but a receiving core that's been really kind of strange and inconsistent. I don't know. Cousins is a guy that, you know, he's going to obviously want to be in this position to succeed. Whether he's going to see the Falcons as that next option, I don't know.
So Kelly, would you rather have Justin Fields in Atlanta if you're a Saints fan or Kirk Cousins?
I'd like both. I think Cousins and Fields are both really good. I just think Fields is being misused in Chicago. I think he's a really good – he's just – you know, it's kind of like getting drafted by the Commanders, Bob.
It's a fatal thing. Patrick, I want to ask you this question. Sean Payton, we hear that Russell Wilson is headed to Pittsburgh. What is it?
No, I mean, it's really kind of, it's unclear. I mean, I think Pittsburgh is out there.
Okay. But let me, here's the question. What was the thing between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson? Why did that not work out?
I mean, I think money kind of came into it really towards the end. But I mean, what they're kind of killing themselves also by releasing Russell Wilson. I don't know. I haven't been following that situation closely. I know Russell Wilson was his first year in Denver was a disaster. But if you look at the statistics,
he was pretty good last year. I thought.
Yeah, they weren't bad, you know. But they also played a lot of bad football early in the season and got in a big hole. So I don't have a great understanding of what all happened there. But you know, it's. Yeah. Wilson is just not the guy he once was, but I think he's still a fairly good NFL quarterback.
Still going to be hard to replace him. You bring in some young, unproven guy. He's not Russell Wilson, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. I mean, and Sean Payton really struggled to draft quarterbacks behind Breeze during his time with the Saints. Are they going to be able to, you know, get it right and get kind of lucky this time around again? And Payton find another guy that can kind of be the franchise quarterback? I'm a little bit of a skeptic, to be honest.
Interesting stuff there.
Do you think, Patrick, locally, closer to home, do you think Frank Gore is a viable NFL running back, or do you draft him maybe as an athlete or maybe even a DB?
No, I mean, he's a running back. I mean, that's what he is. I think I've answered a similar question on the show before, and, you know, I don't think anybody should doubt him. He seems that he has continued to kind of overcome expectations throughout his career, whether it was at Southern Miss or anywhere else. He just seems to have something about him, you know. And it wouldn't surprise me if he got a role, say, as a punt returner, and was able to kind of develop into kind of a third down back. He's got progress to make there in terms of blocking. I can assume he's not the biggest guy. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be tough because he's not ideal size, but somebody's gonna give him a shot. I think maybe he's a fifth rounder later pick, or possibly even a free agent.
He's got that it factor, Kelly. I've heard some women say that about you, but in a different he's got that it factor. But it, of course,
yeah. When I'm in the lineup against the wall, they'll say that's it. That's, you know, but a lot of these pro teams, they are cookie cutter. If you don't, you know, like baseball pitchers, if you're not 6 feet four, if you don't throw it like this, if you don't do, and Frank Gore doesn't check a lot of the. They don't draft people on the it factor.
Right.
You know, it's rare. Let me just put it that way. It's rare that they draft.
How
someone.
About on the heritage?
That's why I
factor.
Never got drafted. The it factor was there. Nothing
well,
else
I,
was.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Gore. You know, kind of like the old Patriots teams where they seem to find guys that were kind of overlooked and fit in. Maybe didn't look the part. You know, I think he could maybe fit in a team like that.
Yeah, I think he's a great. If Danny Woodhead can make it in the NFL, Frank Gore Jr. Right. will do well.
And it doesn't hurt his daddy was a. Future Hall of Famer, right? A little good blood there, Patrick.
Yeah, doesn't hurt.
Patrick, what's the weather like down there in New Orleans? Just out of curiosity.
It's rainy right now. It's hoping for a nice weekend, but right now it's kind of rainy.
There's still plenty to do, even on a rainy night in the Big Easy. Am I right?
Yeah, let's enter in, you know, the spring and the fall are the time of year when we have festivals, so we've always got something going on every weekend. You don't run out of stuff to do here. Well,
Patrick, we appreciate you. Our regards to Blue. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, brother.
Blue's back on social media.
Is he?
Yeah.
Blue's handsome.
Thanks, guys.
Man. All right, Patrick. Patrick McGee, NOLA.com. Raining here in Hattiesburg now. Hope it's not raining in Ruston. You know the Bulldogs are praying for rain.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Who's bringing us back?
Final segment with these clowns. Brought to you by DBAT.
Please, Luke.
DBATHattiesburg.com. DBAT on Hardy Street. It's raining today in the Hub City. And no baseball or softball in the Hub City as far as Southern Miss is concerned. So, go see our friends at DBAT. Great indoor facilities, batting cages, instruction. It's all at DBAT in Hattiesburg. Softball falling just a little while ago. They are up in North Alabama. They fell to Murray State 2-0, but just literally in about 6 or 7 minutes going to get underway against North Alabama. So softball this weekend. Congratulations on the track and field side. Southern Miss high jumper Zane Palomino is going to participate tomorrow at noon central in the NCAA Indoor Championships in Boston. Palomino will be among the top 16 high jumpers. He won 3 of his 5 high jump events during the season, including the Sunbelt Conference Championship. He's from Jamaica. Most importantly, he's a Golden Eagle, and he is competing for the National Championship tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, man.
Boston. Yeah, man. So good luck to Zane Palomino. All right, women's basketball. Just a few minutes ago, Marshall defeats Appalachian State 116-74.
Yeah, but they ain't played us yet.
Marshall.
Yeah, okay, Bob.
Marshall advances to take on the winner of Old Dominion and ULM, who are tipping off in about 5 minutes. Of course, the Lady Eagles taking on the Lady Dukes at 5 p.m. today. Southern Miss, the 6 seed. James Madison, the 3 seed. They will be followed by Troy, the 2 seed, against the Lady Raging Cajuns of Louisiana at 7:30. All that in Pensacola. Baseball set tonight, 6 p.m. at the Love Shack, J.C. Love Field in Ruston. 3-game series against Louisiana Tech. Nico Mazza tonight, 2-0 with a 1.96 ERA. Reed Smith, a right-hander senior from Texas, Lufkin, Texas, I believe. He doesn't have a win or loss this year and has a 4.15 ERA.
Luke, go over those Marshall shooting stupid numbers.
Yeah, this is pretty wild. So Marshall shot 62.7% for the game from the floor. They were 13 of 23 from three-point land, which is 56.5%. It's just hard to win.
Yeah, that
no matter who you are.
That's an easy post game speech for the App State coach. Hey, they shot 62% and over 50% from the threes. Good job, good try, ladies, but you ain't gonna beat anybody.
Boy, they're a handful, aren't they?
Run up against numbers like that.
They had 60 points in the paint.
Wow. They'd be good all year too. It's
60 not points in the paint and 13 3-pointers.
So ODU, they'll face the winner in the ladies' side there on that top side of the bracket. ODU versus ULM. So Missy Bilderback from Hattiesburg, that coaching that ULM team.
Yeah, that game tipping off in about 3 minutes.
I'd love to see ULM pull that off. And if anybody can beat Marshall, figure out a way to do it besides our crew, it would be, you know, Missy at ULM, I think.
She's had a great year there.
Yeah, well, in fact, she's had the, and of course, baseball still to come as far as the full season goes. But up to this point, the Lady Warhawks have been the only team above 500 that ULM has even put on the field. I mean, it's tough. It's really tough over there in Monroe. Yeah,
she's done a really good job.
She has.
Formerly Jones coach, correct?
And PCS High School in Hattiesburg before that. And, of course, her father was the great Perry Wheat, who coached high school football for many years at Forest County AHS and McGee and Purvis, among other places. So she's definitely got it in her lineage.
Baseball this weekend, Army at Georgia State, James Madison at East Tennessee, App State at Winthrop. What's their mascot, Kelly, by the way? Winthrop.
I don't know.
I don't either. I'm just asking. Northeastern is at Old Dominion. Coastal Carolina hosts the Michigan Wolverines. South Alabama and Lincoln, Nebraska against the Cornhuskers. Marshall hosting Southeast Missouri State. Georgia Southern hosting Radford. Alabama A&M is in Monroe. Sam Houston is at Texas State. Tulane and the Raging Cajuns in Lafayette.
That's a good one.
Eastern Illinois and Archie State and Southern Miss in Ruston against Louisiana.
Hey, real quick, Luke, I got an update from Al Holder last night about some of the players in the minor leagues. He says your boy Dustin Dickerson, all indications are that the Kansas City Royals really love him, and they're really expecting him to have a big, big season.
Good stuff. Would love to see not only a Golden Eagle but a West Jones Mustang make it to the show.
And look, if you're going to try to crack a roster in the major leagues, it's teams like Kansas City that you want to be drafted by.
Yeah.
If you get drafted by the Yankees, you're going, oh, gosh, I'm never going to get to play you know, at the big league level because they just don't do it that
or
way.
Or the Tigers, your team.
No, that would be a team you'd want to. I mean, if you're just looking to play, if you're just.
When's the last time Tigers made the World Series?
Yeah. How about the playoffs?
It was in the early, 2010 maybe, of the Cardinals?
Boots Randolph threw out the first pitch.
Yeah, Boots Randolph played the national anthem, accompanied by Ishka Bibble. But the Cardinals have beaten them three out of the last four times they've been to the World Series. The last World Series the Tigers won was 84. And they beat the Padres.
I was a year old.
Whose first baseman at the time was Steve Garvey, who may be the next.
I was a year old.
He might be the next U.S. Senator from California.
Not a chance in hell.
Well, at least he's going to be on the ballot in November.
That wraps it up.
Who would have thought that was going to happen?
For a week. That's probably a good thing this week's wrapping up.
Southern Miss wins the series. What you think? They win the series?
Oh, yeah.
Two out of three. Yeah, two out of three.
Because that's what we do in America. We win series.
Enough. Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.